a fallout shelter somewhere under Seattle, Washington, is the show you've been waiting for. Get ready to join your hosts, John and Kenrick, as they talk comics, movies, and more. Now here's Spoiler Country!
Hey, if you're listening to our show for the first time and you're on one of the social medias that we're on, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of those kinds of things, you should always check us out on scpod.net. But if you want to keep up with our latest episodes, you should bring out your smartphone, get into your favorite podcatcher, find Spoiler Country, and hit subscribe. Then you'll get all our new stuff.
And if you want to reach out to us, you can do that in two ways. You can call us, leave us a voicemail at 707-656-2080. Again, 707-656-2080. Or you can shoot us an email at spoilercountry@gmail.com.
United Armies of the Spoilerverse, I welcome you to a special edition of Spoiler Country. Tonight, we bring you an essay on the release of the Snyder Cut movement and the reasons why it should never die. Join us as Robert Slavinsky from Shooting the Sith, John and myself, Kenrick, as we present to you why the release of the Snyder Cut should never die, a pod essay.
November 17th marks the two-year anniversary for DC and Warner Brothers' Justice League. While the film that released was decent, fans around the world continue to demand the release of the Zack Snyder Cut, a version of the film that was all but thrown out during post-production. Now, before we get into why this movement should not die, let us take a stroll down memory lane and see how we even got to this point.
What most people don't fully realize is that Warner Brothers was looking to cash in on that superhero money after seeing Marvel have all the success with the MCU, with Man of Steel just released and doing moderately well. Critically and financially, Warner Brothers and DC talked to Snyder about a follow-up movie to expand on what he started. Rumor has it that it was requested by WB to insert Batman to help bolster their financial gain, but that has not been substantiated. At San Diego Comic-Con in July 2013, during the DC Comic panel, Zack Snyder called out Harry Lennix, who played General Swanwick in Man of Steel, to help announce the follow-up to Man of Steel. He read an excerpt from Frank Miller's beloved Batman series, The Dark Knight Returns. A Superman logo within a Batman logo appeared on screen, and the fans went wild. October 2014. The Snyderverse. Justice League Part 1 and Part 2 is announced. Unbeknownst to fans at the time, Snyder was given a multi-picture deal which would have included BVS, Justice League Part 1 and Part 2, as well as Man of Steel 2. Unfortunately, there is no official announcement of this deal with Snyder, but through many conversations over the years, Snyder has revealed that his plans for these characters went beyond the films that he was involved with. DC presents Dawn of the Justice League. January 19th, 2016 was a big day for Warner Brothers and DC Films. Geoff Johns appeared on a show called DC Presents Dawn of the Justice League, which was hosted by Kevin Smith to announce the DC film slate for the upcoming 5 years. What started off simply as a Snyderverse of sorts began to expand and branch off to a larger cinematic universe. It's no surprise this was the route WB wanted to take here. Marvel was having massive success with their comic book film universe, and they wanted a piece of the pie. Regardless of that, the fans were ecstatic. The following is what was announced. Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, March 25th, 2016. Suicide Squad, August 5th, 2016. Wonder Woman, June 23rd, 2017. Justice League Part 1, November 17th, 2017. The Flash, March 23rd, 2018. Aquaman, July 27th, 2018. Shazam, April 5th, 2019. Justice League Part 2, June 14th, 2019. Cyborg, April 3rd, 2020. Green Lantern, June 19th, 2020. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. The reception of BVS was not great. A film that should have broken $1 billion at the box office was barely able to pass $800 million. Many blame the convoluted story, dark tone, and poor editing on the film's lack of success. But to some, it was the viewers' lack of understanding that hurt the movie. This worried Warner Brothers. They looked at this as the fans wanting movies more lighthearted and similar to Marvel. Despite all of this, Zack Snyder was still going full steam ahead with his follow-up, Justice League. Something that surprised many critics and fans around the world. Justice League set visit, To ease the minds of fans and critics, Snyder invited multiple outlets to the set and even allowed them to report on what they saw. The biggest takeaway from the visit was the tone of the film and how there was much more levity and hope as opposed to BVS, because that is what everyone wanted, right? Then, during San Diego Comic-Con, Warner Bros. DC drops a surprise first trailer of the film, showing off the lighter tone that everyone so desperately wanted, and it didn't disappoint.
Late 2016, or early 2017, rewrites and reshoots. Sometimes after principal photography was completed and Snyder had a rough edit of the film put together, he realized it needed some tweaks. Just like every film, reshoots were necessary, and the studio wanted to add some more levity to the story. Hot after the announcement of a Joss Whedon's Batgirl movie, WB turned to the famed Avengers writer-director and asked him to work with Zack in rewrites and reshoots. March 2017, first full trailer. With 8 months to go until the release of the film, Warner Bros. Drops the first full-length trailer for Justice League. Unsurprisingly, fans' excitement continued to build, and with the slightly lighter tone compared to Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice, things seemed hopeful for an epic film. May 2017, Zack steps down. In May 2017, Zack releases a statement about stepping down as director of the Justice League film to focus more on his family. Just a few months prior, the Snyders suffered a great loss in the death of one of their daughters. It was at this time Joss Whedon then stepped in to helm the project and see it through the scheduled reshoots and post-production, still aiming for the November 17th release date. June 2017, Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman releases to thunderous applause. The Patty Jenkins film was so well received that the fans and critics touted it to the best DC film since Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight. This movie set the bar on all future DC films, and with Justice League 5 months away, the pressure was on. With Whedon now in place as a replacement director of the film, the first notable change was made, removing Junkie XL as composer and bringing in an experienced composer, Danny Elfman. For me, this was the first true sign that something more sinister was going on behind the scene than a simple handoff from Snyder to Whedon. To this point, Junkie XL had completed his score for the upcoming film. He had covered the song Come Together by the Beatles for the trailer, and his work on the previous film, Batman v Superman, was well received, and it was hard not to look forward to what he would bring next. The fact that he was replaced just a few months prior to the film coming out showed the lack of trust WB had with the Snyder's decisions, thus starting to show that the true nature was of Zack's departure.
In July 2017, Variety reported that Warner Bros. Was spending big money, rumored to be around $25 million, on extensive reshoots to build on the success of Wonder Woman.
Mustache Gate. Unfortunately, Henry Cavill was in the middle of shooting his next film, Mission Impossible, a movie which required him to have a mustache. Despite WB's attempt to make a deal with Paramount to allow Cavill to shave his mustache, they had to find a way to digitally remove it themselves. Second trailer. Once again at the San Diego Comic-Con, a trailer is released where we see a bit more of the film and some additional story beats. Much like the first trailer, fans were excited to see the lighter tone. This was also a trailer that Joss Whedon had some input with.
Maybe it was something that was read into a little much, but the final scene and final line in the trailer by Alfred feels like it was a nod to Whedon, who came onto the project just a few months prior.
They said you'd come. Now let's hope it's not too late. Speculation ran rampant with this trailer, though. Who was Alfred talking to? Was it Green Lantern, Supergirl, or Superman? Fans were beyond excited for this movie, and everything seemed to be moving smoothly. October 2017, going full Whedon. With only a month to go until release, WBDC released yet another trailer. However, this one had a tonal shift, and it became very noticeable that Whedon now had a major influence on the direction of this movie, contrary to what was reported back in March. It was understood that we see a light shift in tone with Joss taking over, but what we got in this trailer was rather jarring.
Each character gets a moment to look in the camera and smile. The color scheme has shifted to brighter and more hopeful despite the dreary circumstances of the film. Worst of all, things just felt off. there was less of a connection to what Snyder had begun and more of a finalization of a story we didn't realize we were getting. November 17th, Justice League releases. A movie that would have undoubtedly made $1.5 billion had there been no controversy was only able to squeak out $657 million at the box office.
Critically, the movie did decent. After the red carpet premiere, there was a lot of hope floating around about the film. No one exactly touted it as being anything overly special, but there wasn't much negativity surrounding it.
One of the biggest issues with the film happens in the first moment of the movie. We immediately see Superman with a digitally altered face due to the mustache removal. The job that was done was pathetic. Some fans, after the fact, deepfaked Superman and Henry Cavill's face to show the difference of what they could do and looked much better than the mess of the movie. From that point forward, the entire film feels disconnected from what came before it, a hodgepodge of scenes strung together from two different visions. Much like the final trailer, the film as a whole felt out of sorts. Steppenwolf's dialogue was confusing and begged the question to who he was calling mother. Backstory and moments in the trailer for characters like Cyborg, Lois, and The Flash were sadly missing from the final film. The side story of a Russian family was added and it had no real place, and in a way distracted from the events going on around them. Many announced actors were absent from the film. Superman's black suit, which was teased by Henry Cavill while the movie was in production, was noticeably missing. And that's just touching the surface. When fans began to realize all of the pieces Snyder was putting together were missing, well, something magical happened.
Birth of hashtag release the Snyder Cut. Fans comparing trailers to the finished film began picking out missing moments and sharing them online. As this practice became more popular, the hashtag release the Snyder Cut movement became a staple on social media. Many tech-savvy people started editing their own versions of the film together using Junkie XL's BVS score and footage from all the different pre-Whedon trailers that were released. The fan outcry for Snyder's vision was only getting started.
Since the release of Justice League, Warner Brothers and DC have been adjusting their slate of films that they announced in January of 2016. Films such as Cyborg and Green Lantern Corps have been delayed indefinitely, where movies like Flash and Justice League Part 2 may never see the light of day. At this time, it's anyone's guess where Warner Brothers DC goes from here. We do have a Batman trilogy by Matt Reeves with Robert Pattinson as Batman due to release in 2021. Birds of Prey and Wonder Woman 84 are releasing in 2020, and a follow-up to Aquaman is in development. With all that, it's unlikely we ever see any follow-up of what Zack Snyder built starting with Man of Steel in 2012. All we can do is hope that those developing the upcoming stories honor what came before. Since the movement began, the fans have been passionate about getting this film released. So much so that in July of 2019, money was spent on billboards around San Diego during Comic-Con, stating, "Release the Snyder Cut." Zack himself even took notice by snapping photos and sharing them on his Vero account, showing how humbled and appreciative he is of all the support he has. So why should the Release the Snyder Cut movement not die? Because fans deserve to get what they want. Let's face it, the Justice League film that was released wasn't what we deserved. It wasn't horrible by any stretch of the imagination, but it could have been so much more. Would Snyder's fully realized film been as divisive as Batman vs. Superman? It's possible, but the fans, the loyal fans of Zack's work thus far, deserve better than what they got. It's time for production companies to listen to the fans and believe that they know what they want. Most recently, we've seen a company for an upcoming film listen to fan outcry and make a course correction to which they are now being applauded for. That movie being Sonic the Hedgehog. At this point, Warner Brothers and DC has nothing to lose, but they do have something to gain. With Warner Brothers recently being bought by AT&T, a change in the way all their DC film properties are viewed would go a long way in their future success. Aquaman and Shazam have already started that, but now is the time to show the fans and the world that they are listening to us. Their streaming service HBO Max would be an excellent outlet in which to drop this movie. It would draw subscribers and get many excited. On top of that, they could give everyone a sneak peek at what was going on behind the scenes. Maybe give us a short documentary of the making of Justice League to go alongside the Snyder Cut of the film. The film doesn't have to be completed. It's already understood and accepted that the visual effects are not 100% done. We know that there are areas that Snyder wanted to fix with his own reshoots, all of which could be further explained in a documentary or even docu-series leading up to its release. Undoubtedly, there are people out there who want this movement to end who didn't enjoy what Snyder created. But what is the harm in releasing it now? At one point, there was a petition signed by nearly 200,000 people in support of releasing the cut. So even if half of those people sign up for 1 month of HBO Max, that would be roughly $1.5 million in revenue for Warner Brothers and DC. If you ask me, it's not about whether they should release it, it's when should they. Whether you like it or not, there is a Snyder Cut in the world. With all of the confirmations from different actors and people who worked on the movie, we know the film exists. The movement is important not just for those of fans of the film, but also fans of all movies. This was a movie that was highly anticipated, a movie that should have absolutely made $1 billion at the box office. We were robbed of what we planned or expected to get. By releasing the Snyder Cut, whether it is applauded or criticized heavily, all it's going to do is show that Warner Brothers and DC is listening to the fans. And if it fails miserably, if it's not as good as the movie that came out in November of 2017, what do they have to lose? If it is as good or even better than what we got in 2017, they can simply blame it on the old regime, the old administration that was running Warner Brothers at the time. Let us know what you think, if the Release the Snyder Cut movement is important, if you think it should be released, and when you think it should be released.
Well, that was fun, Robert, or Bob. What? You know, this is the first time I've ever asked you while talking to you. What do you go by in life?
In life, my professional name is Robert. when it comes to my friends and people I know, it's usually Bob.
Because I just can't, for some reason, I just can't do the Bob thing with it. I just see you as a Robert.
That's all right.
Because I know so many Bobs, and all of them are douches. So I just can't lump you in with that. Not yet, at least.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
All right, good, good. But we're not here to talk about your name. We're here to talk about what we just listened to, which was why. Actually, why don't you go ahead and give us the rundown since you wrote it?
I mean, essentially, it's why the Release the Snyder Cut movement should not die, should not end. I think it's not just an important movement that has taken place in regards to what that film could have been and what the fans want, but I think it's an important movement for studios, movie studios, to realize that, you know, sometimes their constant meddling within or with properties and with what people are looking forward to seeing kind of screws everything up. And I think that kind of happened in regards to Justice League. And even, you know, with Batman vs. Superman and everything else like that, I think that's a big reason why there was so much divisiveness between or with all of those or with those films. It's just Warner Brothers meddling with everything. And I think that this movement has really brought upon just people realizing that, look, us as fans, we know what we want. And it's not always well, I understand, and I think a lot of people understand that the movie companies are in it for the money, but you're going to make more money if you make the fans happy. And that's,
this is true.
That's kind of the way I look.
So let's, I have a question for you. How much meddling do you think the studio had in BVS? Like how much influence do you think they had over the final part of that movie?
From a lot of the stuff that, because doing this article that, you know, we just listened to, I did a lot of research on that. And when it comes to when it comes to Batman vs Superman, I think they were a little more hands off than a lot of people realize. I think that they did have a say. A lot of stuff that I read was it was their idea to put Batman in the film. Although then I saw an interview with Zack Snyder where he was saying, oh no, he basically was like, I thought it was a great idea to bring Batman in, or I thought that's the best way to do it. So again, it's unsubstantiated who brought that up, but you could see that Warner Brothers was trying to fast track and catch up to Marvel and what they were creating with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I'm sure that they had a lot to say, like, look, we want Batman, we want Wonder Woman, we want this, we want that, within three movies or within two movies or something like that. And it kind of fast-tracked everything. And then when they saw the initial cut of Batman vs. Superman, they required that 30 minutes of the movie, actually, I think it was a little more than 30 minutes of the movie, be taken out and for it to be re-edited, which is, I think, absurd, because when you see the cut of the movie that we got in theaters, there's moments that just don't make sense, that don't line up, because there's things and scenes missing. So I think while they did, you know, have a say in the final cut of what we got with Batman vs Superman, I think when the outcry, and I was one of them. I mean, I'm sitting here today talking about Justice League and how much I want the Snyder Cut. And you know me, I'll support Batman vs. Superman and Man of Steel till I die. But that the day that I went to the theater and saw Batman vs. Superman, I walked out of that theater, I was just like, how'd they screw that up? Like, how could they possibly screw it up? You have the two probably most notable superheroes of all time on the big screen together, and you screw it up. How did you do it? So I was mad about it. I was.
Yeah, I walked out of that theater angry, being like, this is garbage. This is the worst movie I've ever seen as far as, no, really the worst movie I've ever seen that involves superheroes, and it didn't make any damn sense. And for me, it wasn't until I went home and talked to my kids about it. My daughter, who's a big superhero fan too, she was at, and you know, not really related to the movie, but she was, I was talking to her about how I didn't like it, you know, that night, because we were going to go see it the next day. I didn't, she won't let me tell her any spoilers, right? She's 11 now. She was like 9 or 10 back when this came out, or I can't even remember when it came out, whenever she was younger. And she's always been no spoilers, but I was telling her how I didn't care for it and why I didn't care for it. And she looked at me and she goes, well, Dad, did you have fun watching it? Was there fun stuff in the movie? Did you try to just enjoy it? Or did you let people that were talking about it make you feel bad about it? Because for me, for that movie, I had let all of the negativity that came out right before it like affect me how I enjoyed that movie. And when I went and saw it again that week with my kids, I liked it more. I still didn't think it was a great movie, but I liked it. I enjoyed it for what it was. I was able to actually enjoy it for what it was. And then when they released the Ultimate Edition, which, you know, added back in those scenes you mentioned cutting out, my first thought about that was, why would they cut this out? This explains a lot of the stuff that I hated about the movie. And it really ties a lot of stuff together, because what wasn't there in the theatrical cut seems to be there in the ultimate cut, which, you know, that half an hour made a lot of difference.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree completely. And that's one of the things that just surprises me, because I'm the same way. I'm, if you know anything about me, when I go to see these movies, I like to support them, especially ones that I really enjoy. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. You know, hey, I'm going to plug my show, Shooting a Sith. With me, I talk about Star Wars, but you know, even these superhero movies, I'm a bigger DC fan than Marvel, but I love the Marvel movies as well. If I love the movie, I'm going to go see it more than once. I'm going to keep giving them my money because I want them to keep doing it. Batman vs. Superman was one of the few superhero movies that I didn't go back to see a second time. And when it wasn't until they announced that Ultimate Edition was coming out that I was like, all right, I'm going to give it another watch and see if it turns out to be any better. And I did. I watched it, and I loved it. And from that moment forward, I started being one of those people that was picking it apart. Like, what could this mean? What could that mean? You know, what does this mean? And I think that's what built my excitement up for Justice League. Even though Batman vs. Superman was still so divisive, Man of Steel, while it's not as applauded as you know, the Donner Superman movies were, it's still a really good movie. Right. And I mean, it was still a successful film. Not as successful as some people probably thought it should have been, but it was successful. And it did start to build a universe, sort of, at the time. You know, not completely, but sort of. And
see, I think Man of Steel is a good movie with a couple of flaws in it. Like, I still enjoy that movie. Like, I can debate both. There's actually a podcast out there that I'm on where I'm debating how great of a film it is and defending all of the things that I have since said I don't like about the movie, right? But I do enjoy that movie. I think it's a good film. I think it has some missteps in it. But I did, you know, ultimately I enjoyed it. And Justice League, like, if you listen to the Spoiler Country Justice League review, Kendrick and I both, you know, gave a glaring review of it, how we thought it was a great movie, and I had a lot of fun in it. And we talked about some flaws in it too, but we had a lot of fun with it. But to the point you and I have talked about outside of, you know, podcasting and stuff, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't get wrapped up in that movie. There's a lot of plot points and a lot of characters that just kind of fall off in that movie. It seems like Justice League is like a standalone film outside of the first two movies that came before it, as it sits right now.
Exactly. That's kind of what I was leading to, is, you know, with me, with getting excited on what I've loved about Man of Steel, and I'm going to say this, and I stand by this to this day, I still think that Man of Steel is a masterpiece. I do think that it is probably the best superhero movie that we have ever gotten, and I know you disagree with me on that, but
that's a topic for another show.
That is another show. Another episode. But I do. I absolutely adore that movie. I mean, it's the first superhero movie that ever made me truly cry while watching the movie. Like, I literally was crying in that movie, and I'm an emotional person, though, so I cried a lot of stuff, but that's the first superhero movie.
I am too, man. You're good.
But my excitement level was so high for Justice League, and I did the same thing. I went to the theater. My former co-host of Bridging the Geekdoms, he and I went over and saw it at the Waterfront Theater, and we came out of it, and we're like, holy crap, that was a lot better than we thought it was going to be. We then walked back in and saw it a second time that night. So
nice.
I
haven't done that in a long time.
So we really enjoyed that movie, like, a lot. So when it came around to, like, sitting back and starting to, like, let me pick this apart, like I picked apart Batman vs. Superman and eventually Man of Steel, things just weren't adding up. You know, it's like,
right,
all this,
there's so much missing. You
know, all this stuff that they were setting up in the previous film is missing. There's none of that. All that setup is gone. And then you start reading the reports on what happened and what happened with production. And a lot of that stuff we saw prior to the film coming out, the rewrites, Josh Whedon coming in, the reshoots, all that stuff we heard about prior to it. But everything seemed to still, like, all signs were pointing to this is still Zack Snyder's movie. To the moment we see it and you start to realize this is not Zack Snyder's movie at all. And
no, it's not like everything we were told was coming in that movie. A lot of it was dropped out, and it just seemed like somebody recut the movie and made a different movie out of it to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
While it was a fun standalone movie, it didn't do anything as far as finalizing or moving on the plots of the previous movies.
No, not at all. I mean, there was so much in Batman vs. Superman that still needs to be, you know, cleared up. You know, why was the Flash coming back in time through the Speed Force and telling Bruce to find us? What was that all about? I mean, if you do your research, know, but I want to see it. I don't want to just read it. And that's...
Should be in the movie. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what was announced today, just today.
Interesting. I mean, as you probably heard, there's, you know, Zack Snyder, Ray Fisher, Jason Momoa, Gal Gadot, Ben Affleck, they've all been jumping in the release of Zack Snyder Cut, or release of the Snyder Cut movement. So much so that, you know, it seems like twice, maybe three times a week now for the past month or so, we've been getting more and more snippets from Zack Snyder himself, whether it's behind the scenes pictures or even little stills from his cut of the movie. He's been posting them on his Vero social account. And
I wish he would do it on, like, Twitter or Instagram, not Vero, but whatever.
Yeah, it would be better if it was on one of those, but that's besides the point. Today he posted a picture of film reels of Justice League. It said director's cut. It said it was, like, over 3.5 hours long. And it's just
214 minutes, 3 hours and 3.56 hours long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it literally, and it says the, like the, where the caption, there we go. The caption says, does it exist? And actually I should pull it up on my phone so I don't get it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get out of here. It goes, is it real? Does it exist? Of course it does. And
right.
That's Zack Snyder essentially saying, hey, it's here. The Snyder Cut is a real thing, because that was one of the big things, is this cut actually real? Despite having all these confirmations from people who worked on the film, who acted in the film, and the director himself, people were still trying to sit there and say, it's not real. Well, this is,
right.
I mean, this is 100% proof that there is a cut of the film. How much of it is completed? I mean, that's still up for debate. But we know that there's a cut now of the film there.
Do you care if they at least they go back and complete everything, or do you care if it's just like what it is with you know, VFX not finished scenes?
I mean, what I would love to see is it completed, but I'm a realist and I completely understand and realize that it's not possible. I mean, again, Warner Brothers is in to make money, so they're not going to go spend money on a finished movie that should have broken $1 billion, but barely broke $800 million. Actually, did it even break 800? I think it only broke $600 million.
Yeah, it was the lowest performing movie of the DCEU besides Shazam, I think.
So when you really sit back and look at it, it's not feasible for them to throw in $5 more million to complete VFX. You know.
However, it would help them save face with fans.
Agreed. I agree completely, and I think that's pretty big, especially in this time where Warner Brothers has recently changed ownership, where the old regime that was there during the time of Justice League being filmed is no longer there. So
right.
No matter what Warner Brothers does, in my opinion, it's a win-win situation for them, as long as they release it. Whether people look at it poorly or whether people look at it with praise, it's a win-win for him, because if people look at it at praise and people start saying, what the heck, why didn't you release that, they can simply sit back and like, look, we released it for you. Now the old regime didn't want to, we did. Or if people look at it poorly, they can say, look, that's why it wasn't released. You wanted it though, we gave it to you, but that's why it wasn't it's a win-win. Like, I just don't understand.
Yeah, there's no lose here for them.
Yeah,
no.
And if they release it, if they release it without finishing the special effects and everything like that, the fan, here's the thing, they won't have to market it at all. They put one exclusive interview with like Variety or the Hollywood Reporter, and that will go viral within minutes. And the fans are the ones that will market the crap out of it. And all they need to explain in that report is the VFX are not finished, blah 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 blah, and everybody from that point on will understand what we're gonna see and what we're gonna get. And that's all we need.
Yeah. But I agree. I mean I'll watch it, you know. I want to see what was supposed to come out versus what did come out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm like that with everything. Like, I'm going to switch it back to Star Wars here real quick, jump over Star Wars. But even what's been going on with Lucasfilm and Star Wars and how all those things came out about George Lucas's scripts and everything like that that weren't used, I want to see them. I know what we got.
Yeah.
I like what we got, but I still want to see what could have been. You know, like, that's just how I am. From the standpoint of Justice League, I just think they've pretty much solidified in with Shazam, Aquaman, Birds of Prey coming up, and Wonder Woman 84 coming out. These movies have pretty much solidified that they're moving in a different direction. So there's no harm in releasing
fine.
Justice League at this point. You know, the Snyder Cut of Justice League. There's no harm, especially if they don't do a big theatrical release. Just release it on HBO Max.
Perfect. I'll watch that.
Now, I mean, that's not the only interesting thing that came out today, though. I don't know.
What else came out today?
Well, there was a tweet where Chris Terrio was actually speaking with Uproxx. I guess, you know, I mean, he's right now doing the press tour for The Rise of Skywalker. He is a writer for that film. And Uproxx said, hey, can you give us anything about the Snyder Cut of Justice League? And these are his words. He goes, can't really speak to that this moment, but I promise that I will talk to you about that very thing after The Rise of Skywalker. And then when he was asked if there was a lot to talk about, he goes, yes, we do. We seriously do. So what does he know? What does Chris Terrio know about the Snyder Cut? I mean, I know that he and Zack Snyder wrote the initial screenplay and script. Josh Whedon came in later and did all the rewrites and reshoots. So obviously Terrio knows what Snyder's version was 100%.
I mean, honestly, at this point, one, all the actors and Snyder and them all have to know that the cut's going to get released, right? It has to be released, because I can't imagine a world where all the main actors of the movie plus the director would have released this, what he's released, and all the people who have been saying, yes, there is, release it, would do that, because it would be career suicide with Warner Brothers to push something that they're against.
Well, that's the thing. Right? I mean, Zack Snyder still has a deal with Warner Brothers, I believe. So it's not like he's, you know, he can't just go around and say, hey, there's a Snyder Cut, and throw it in the face of Warner Brothers.
Exactly. You know, so there has to be a cut. And I will bet you anything, come January, where you're going to hear an announcement about it coming to Blu-ray or coming to HBO Max or something. It'll be like an exclusive somewhere to watch.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be kind of cool. I'd be down with that. Hey, maybe it could come along with the Wonder Woman 84 special announcement that's supposed to happen this weekend.
That'd be cool. We'll see what that is.
I know that they're releasing the trailer, but supposedly there's going to be something else special with it. We'll see.
He's going to drop the full movie at once.
Whoa.
On Netflix.
That'd be crazy. Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you so much for joining me tonight for this. And thanks for all your work on that article and allowing me to bastardize it into a podcast.
Not a problem. And, you know, honestly, anybody that's listening, find me on Twitter at @rslavinsky, or you can search Shooting the Sith. Find me on there. I will talk about the Snyder Cut constantly. I mean, my two loves right now are Star Wars and Zack Snyder's DC films. So I will talk about either one of those things, no problem.
Not your kids, not anything else, just the movies and the films.
Yeah, my kids don't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. They're not Star Wars.
They're not people. They're not real people right now. They're still young.
Right. All right, man. Be sure to check out Robert Iron, Shooting the Sith. Check out him on the website. He writes tons of articles for scpod.net, and y'all know who I am. So thank you.
Take it easy, guys.